Aren't you glad that there is no limit to the grace of God? He pours it on and He never stops. And He never will stop. This morning, I'd ask you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And those of you who have been with us for the last 3 years know that we are traveling through this wonderful book, which is really a summary of Bible doctrine and Bible practice. How do we do what God tells us to do? He tells us so many things in chapters 1 through 3, and really the beginning of chapter 4. And then He tells us how to live those things in our life. And the last three passages in the book of Ephesians, beginning with chapter 5, verse 18, speak of spirit filling, submission, and spiritual warfare. And these are the main venues of living out the Christian life. In order to submit to God's various authorities in our life, whatever institution He has ordained, whether it be the family, whether it be the government, whether it be the church, whether it be your job, all of those things need to be submitted to in the way that God ordered it in creation. We're going to see that today. But that's possible by spirit filling. Because we are all so corrupt and so selfish that we don't want to submit. And we actually destroy our lives because of that. And we need to be spirit filled. And in order to be spirit filled, that is controlled by the Spirit, choosing to yield yourself by the power of the Spirit to the Word of God, the only way you can do that is through salvation in Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must be saved. And if you're here this morning and you're saved, a life in God's order, in God's way, is possible. Isn't that encouraging? He's made it possible by Jesus Christ. Not just to take away your sins, but to reflect Him in your life every day. There's a reason He left us here. And finally, if you are spirit-filled and if you are submitted in your life to the authorities in your life, by the way, if you're not, your life's going to be a disaster. But if you are submitted and spirit-filled, you're going to be able to be in the right rank that God has put you as a body in Jesus Christ, and you're going to wage spiritual warfare against the wicked one, and you're going to do God's will in His way, and God is going to do His will through you as an army with Him as the general, as the head. So we're going to see that this morning. But before we get into that, let's read the text. Let's stand together as we read verses 18 through 21. And we're really going to be doing a summary of the rest of the book this morning. Beginning with verse 18 of chapter 5. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And here's our verse for today. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Let's pray. Father, I ask that You would help us to see the possibility of this verse, that it is possible for every born-again Christian to submit to corrupt, ungodly, sometimes half-finished people. And, Lord, it is especially important that we submit to Christians, other Christians. And, Lord, they're not perfect yet either. And, God, I pray that You would help us to submit to imperfect authority in fear of You. We ask in Jesus' name and for Your glory. Amen. You may be seated. Paul says we need to submit to one another in the fear of God. Remember, the word that he uses here is an important word, submit. What does it mean to submit? That word submit is a Greek military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. So the idea is get in the right place that God has put you. And of course you'll know that by the various advantages and opportunities that you may have and the various giftings that you may have or not have. God will direct you to the right place of service for Him. But whatever place of service you are in, every one of us is under authority. And we need to learn to joyfully submit to the rank of authority in our lives, whatever area of life it is in. And that's hard to do. That's why he says, in fear of God. We need to do it with God in mind, not with that imperfect person in mind, because that imperfect authority, all of us included, are going to fail. We all have authority over various things in our life, and we've got to be careful that we submit ourselves to the authorities over us, and that we as leaders not abuse our authority. That we are very careful with that precious gift of authority that God has given to us. So, in that illustration, with submission being in the right rank of authority under God, then who's the general? Who's the general of the army? God is the general. And so we need to understand, first of all, that we need to submit to God. And that is, we're going to see three principles today, but that is the principle of sovereignty. All authority comes from God. That's the principle of sovereignty. God is sovereign over all, and any authority that we have is not really ours. It's God's. And God has delegated to us authority. And of course, this is such an important point that we're going to see Paul actually apply this to the various relationships and places of authority in our lives in chapter 5, in the marriage relationship, in the children and parent relationship in chapter 6, and in the employer relationship. Back then it was slave and master relationship. We're going to see those principles here also. But I want to emphasize that submission to authorities, God-ordained authorities, is not fully to the glory of God unless you are Spirit-filled. And so submission is one of the signs of Spirit-filling. Remember from last week, we said there were four things that showed Spirit-filling. Number one, in verse 19 of chapter 5, singing, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your hearts to the Lord. So singing is a sign of Spirit filling. Sincere thankfulness, verse 20, is another sign of Spirit filling. Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then, of course, this is what we're dwelling on today, verse 21, submission. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Another one that we added last week that is a parallel verse with this passage is Colossians 3:16. And so if you are Spirit-filled, you are going to be letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all knowledge. And so you're going to be a studier of the Word as a Spirit-filled person. You're going to want to get into the Word deeply, not just superficially. Sundays and Wednesdays are not going to be sufficient for you. Daily you're going to be hungering and thirsting after God and just delighted in His Word. As David said, oh, how I love thy law. So, this morning, three principles. The first one is sovereignty. When we submit to the rightful authorities over us, we reflect God's sovereignty in our lives. That's the principle of sovereignty. Then we're going to look at the principle of stewardship. When we submit to the authorities in our lives, we are good stewards of all that God gives us. Submitting to those God has put over us is really submission to God. And finally, we're going to see the principle of spiritual warfare. In order to fight the spiritual battles that we have as Christ's body, we must all be in correct battle formation. We must submit to the authorities that God has placed over us so that we can be effective and win. So, let's first of all look at the principle of sovereignty. God is the sovereign over all. He is the one who gives us authority. We are all under His divine authority. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 1, and then we're going to look at Jeremiah 18. In fact, you know Genesis 1:1. You don't even need to turn there, but go ahead and start turning to Jeremiah 18, because we're going to see in both passages that God, because He is the Creator, He can do whatever He wants with His creation. And as the Creator, He forms us in whatever manner he chooses. And some of us are formed to be leaders. Some of us are formed to be followers. Some of us are formed to be kings. Some of us are formed to be peasants. Some of us are formed to be presidents and senators. Some of us are formed to simply be faithful in our homes. Everyone's formed for that, of course. But there are distinctions in the giftings and the abilities and the opportunities that we all have. You were born in the United States of America. You have some amazing opportunities that people in the rest of the world couldn't even dream of. But God puts you here in the family that He puts you in with the abilities that He puts you in because He's sovereign. And as a sovereign, He can make you whatever way He wants you. Look at Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel," I want you to put your name there, whatever your name is. "O Matthew, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O Matthew," O whatever your name is. God is the potter, and we are the clay. Aren't you glad He's in charge this morning? He's in charge whether you recognize it or not. He is the sovereign. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness if you're a Christian. And He has given you everything that you are. You're made by God. He is in charge. He controls whatever country you were born in, whatever employee that you have, or if you're an employer, whether you're male or female, whatever your ethnicity, whatever country you were born in, God is in absolute control, and therefore we are all under His authority. That's divine authority. But there is also human authority in the sovereignty of God. We don't deserve it. But God in the beginning made man male and female. And in creation He told man to have dominion over all things. And even in that dominion we have dominion over one another. There are different places of submission and dominion in the created order of God that we must follow or our lives are going to unravel. This is the way God made it. And if you do not go with that, your life will unravel. Think of it this way. Think of a train. Where is a train most free? A train is not most free hopping around the countryside without train tracks. If that happens, the train will lose its functionability. It will be of no use. It might think that it's free, giving personhood to a train, but it's not free. It's messed up, and it's going to rust out and be of no use. The freest place for a train to be is on those two train tracks. In the same way, the freest place for you to be is in whatever role and position and responsibility that He's given you. If you're a child, you should not be free to disobey and do your authorities and do whatever you want. The freest place that you can be is under the authority of mom and dad. If you're an employee, it's not your position to rewrite policy for the company. You are freest when you listen to the authorities that are over you and you serve in that position of submission with joy as unto the Lord. If you are in a church, you may want the church to go in a different direction, and you may be right. But it's not your place, unless God has put you in a position of leadership, to make those changes according to the Scriptures. It is your place to maybe make a suggestion or pray for your pastor or leadership, but we're all to be in joyful submission to whatever authority God has put us under. And you all have authority. And you all have areas of submission. Now let's understand, human authority has various facets, and they all are reflections of the submission within the Godhead. Why do we submit one to another? First of all, we submit one to another in the fear of God because that reflects the submission within the Trinity. It's a reflection of God Himself. I want you to see that Christ submits to the Father, and the Spirit submits to both the Father and the Son, and yet they're all co-equal in power and in glory. And God in His created order reflects Himself in the orders of authority and submission in this world. I want you to look at how Christ submits to God in John 6:38. Christ submits to the Father in all things. He says in John 6:38, He says, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will." Okay, so we understand He has set aside His rights and joyfully submitted to the will of another. He says, "I came down from heaven," John 6:38, "not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." And we see this principle several places in the New Testament where Christ submits Himself to the Father. And Christ, by the way, submitted Himself to all human authorities. Being God and being the perfect man, when He came down to earth, He submitted Himself and honored His father and mother. I don't know what His employer was. Maybe it was His father. But I guarantee in that relationship, He submitted Himself to His employer. He submitted Himself to the ecclesiastical authorities of that time. He also submitted Himself, that's the church, but obviously the church, anyway, that's a whole other thing. But Israel and the ecclesiastical authorities of that time, He submitted Himself to. He submitted Himself also to the government authorities. Even laid down His life when He could have destroyed the entire Roman Empire. He submitted Himself. And if Christ is the perfect man, and He is God and our Savior and our Lord, we should follow Him. And He was simply doing all that the Father had commanded Him to do. He was submitting to the Father in all things. We also see that the Spirit is submissive to both the Father and the Son. Specifically, the Son in John 16, verses 13 and 14. Turn over there. We see that the Spirit of God does not promote Himself, but His position is to exalt Jesus Christ specifically. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come," it says, "He shall not speak of Himself." Jesus says later on, "He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." He shall not speak of Himself, He shall glorify Me. And so when we joyfully submit to one another in the fear of God, as Paul says in Ephesians, he's talking about the order of the Godhead, and secondly, he's talking about the order of creation. So when we defy the order of the Godhead and the order of creation, we defy God, and we mess up our lives. We really do. Now, some of you will say, that is so restricting. How can I just submit in all these areas of my life? Well, let me tell you that it's not restricting, it is freeing. I gave the train illustration, but let me move it to biology. If you take a bird out of the sky and you walk and you put that bird in your aquarium, you're going to have problems. If you take the fish out of the aquarium and you walk the fish, you're going to have problems. If you take the dog off the leash and you drop him from the sky and tell him to fly, you're going to have problems. Because God designed us a certain way. And God, as a potter, designed you in a certain way. And He put various things in your personality that annoy some people and some other people love it. But He's made you in a certain way to do a job that only you can do. And in that job, you have to, there's rank. And I don't know where God has put you, but I know the best thing is to be on the bottom and be faithful in the little things. That's what He says. And as you're faithful in little things, He'll give you authority over more and more things. But all of us, no matter how high rank you are, we are all under authority because God is the general. And you have some kind of human authority. All of us do. whether it be governmental, whether it be in the family, whether it be in the church, we're all under authority, and we will thrive, and we will prosper, we'll fly like a bird when we submit to God's order in our life. We'll swim like a fish when we submit to God's order in our life. Walk like a dog, I guess. We'll run like a dog, as it should. Just trying to go with the illustration here. If we submit to the order of God in our life, we will do exactly what we were designed to do when we submit to one another in the fear of God. And if you don't, you try to walk the fish, you got a dead fish. You try to fly the dog, you got a dead dog. You try to swim the bird, you got a dead bird. So here's the principle. God is sovereign. Submit to one another in the fear of God, because He's the one who gives all authority. And when you submit to others, you're really submitting to God's design for your life. Then we have the principle of stewardship. And this means that whatever authority you're given, you're going to give an account of on the day of judgment. You're going to give an account of in the day of judgment. And let's look at that. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. It tells us, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be what? Found faithful. What does faithfulness mean? Faithfulness is that you do exactly what God tells you to do consistently. You do exactly what God tells you to do consistently. Can you say that in the authority that God has given you, that you are a good steward, that you are doing exactly what God has told you to do in that area of your life consistently? Let's consider how this works out in the various areas of our life. We're going to see how we can be prospered in this area. Number one, we are stewards in the family, are we not? We're all given a place to serve. God's the general, and God has told us to get in rank order so that we can serve Him and be most effective for Him. And when we get out of rank, you become defeated. Now, I want you to see this with a husband and wife relationship, because when Paul says in verse 21, submit one to another in the fear of God, what does verse 22 say? What does it say? It tells us exactly how to submit. Let's turn there. Ephesians 5:22. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. So here we see, in the home, the generals of the home, the delegated ones that have authority in the home, is the husband and the wife, and the main leader of the home, the head of the home, is the husband. Now this is so important, because Paul tells us in verses 32 and 33 that this is a mystery. That this is so important that it reflects Jesus Christ and His church. And so when you get this out of order, you're giving a wrong message about God. See, you are a preacher, every one of you who are married, you are preaching about Jesus Christ and His love for the church and the church's submission to Jesus Christ. Now, if I don't like something that my bridegroom says, my Savior and Lord, am I going to tell him that he needs to get in line? That's blasphemous, isn't that? In the same way, it is not right in our culture that we have a complete reversal of roles. I mean, our culture, our society wants men to be women and women to be men. And they want to absolve marriage. And they think that this is freeing. It's as freeing as putting a bird in the aquarium. It is as freeing as taking the train off the tracks and throwing it on the side of the mountain. It's not freeing. It wasn't. We were not made men to be women. And women, you were not made to be men, and you will not function right unless you submit to God's created order. Now specifically, and we're going to get into this much more detail in the weeks to come. This is just an overview. But wives, you're to submit to your husband. The Bible says in Genesis that you were created as a helper suited for him. Now, your goal is not to make a career out of your life. Doesn't mean that you cannot work. Proverbs 31, we know that that woman was industrious. But if you have children in the home, your job, your main job is your children. And your main job is always your husband, whatever industry God gives you. You say, that's just not fair. I got to submit to this lousy guy. I mean, the guy's corrupt. The guy smells. He's got bad breath. And, you know, he doesn't do everything right. You know what? That is correct. Every submission to authority, as far as human authority, is submission to imperfect authority. But the Scripture doesn't tell us that we should have fear of man, specifically. It says submitting one to another in the fear of who? God. So your submission to your husband, if you're married today, wife, is really a reflection of where your relationship with God is. Are you willing to serve your husband, regardless of his imperfections? But there are checks and balances, aren't there? Verse 25, the Scripture tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so the husband is not to use his authority in a way that is domineering. He is to use it gently. He is to use his place of authority as a way to sacrifice himself, as Christ sacrificed himself for the church. What a challenge, man. You are a picture of Christ. And so you are really to sacrifice yourself as a servant leader for that wife who is submitting to your leadership, and understand that you men will give an account for God for how you wielded your authority. You better not yield it, but you better wield it in a way that is gentle. If you yield it, and if you allow your wife to have the reins of that house, you're going to destroy your life, her life. And if you have children, you're going to destroy their lives, except for the grace of God. I'm not saying there aren't exceptions. God is gracious, isn't he? He's merciful. But that's not the rule. Okay? Then there's the parent-child relationship. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's enough reason, isn't it? It's right. God said it's right. That's what you should do. It's right. He says, honor thy father and mother. That's the fifth commandment. This is the commandment with a promise that you'll live long on the earth, he says. But verse 4, there is, again, a check and balance. Fathers, provoke not your children to rebellion. Don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What is nurture and admonition? Nurture is not being a doormat. That's not what nurture is. But some people think it is. And so they just let their children do whatever they want to do, and they say, well, I'm nurturing them. You're not nurturing them, you're being a doormat. That's not nurture. You are to love them, you are to be gentle, you are to respect them, you are to treat them as a human being, you are to treat them as you would want to be treated, with great love and great respect, knowing that you don't have any idea who this person is, who God's going to make that person. So treat them as if they were a David Brainerd. You may have a David Brainerd in your home, and you treat them with deep love and deep respect. But you're not a doormat. Neither are you a drill sergeant. It says, raise them in the nurture and the admonition, the correction, the firm correction of the Lord. That does not mean you're a drill sergeant. Because if you treat a person with disrespect and you scream at them and yell at them, you will provoke them to wrath. If you roll over like a doormat, you're going to provoke your children to rebellion. What is God's way then? It is to be, as I say often, as firm as iron when it comes to the principles of God's Word. But in correcting them, you are loving as Christ is loving. And so when they disobey, you come to them humbly and you discipline them, you give them the godly reasons, but you love them and you respect them. We're going to get into that in detail in the weeks to come. So there's another realm of God's created order. The husband and wife relationship. The wife is to submit to the husband. The parent-child relationship. The children are to submit to the parents, specifically to the head of that home, the fathers. And all of this is reflective of Jesus Christ and the Father, because God the Father is the head of Christ and the head of man is Jesus Christ. Finally, we could go... Let me just mention just a few other areas of submission. Number two, a second area of submission is ecclesiastical authority, or the church. And if you're a believer, you have come under the headship of who? Who is your head? Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, the end of that chapter, it says that Christ is the head of the church, and we're to submit to His headship. Now, God has delegated His authority in the structure of the churches to leaders. There are leaders within the churches that carry His authority. Ephesians chapter 4, turn there, just a few chapters back. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And then we're going to turn over to Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13, 17, that is. So, have your place in both of those books. Ephesians 4:11, and God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Doesn't say it, but it's intrinsic in the offices. They are divinely ordained offices of leadership, and therein have God's authority. And so these men have authority in the church to do what? To perfect the saints so that they might do the work of the ministry. What a great privilege that is. I have the authority each week to get up here in this pulpit and teach you the Word of God. And I take that authority very seriously. Have I been perfect in using my authority? No, I have not. And I thank God that you all are a gracious and patient people. But I beg God that I would not abuse my authority, that I would not... push you, but that I would lead you and that you would want to follow. But look at Hebrews 13 and verse 17. God gives authority to pastors, to the elders of the churches. Verse 17 of Hebrews 13 tells us to obey them that have the rule over you. The word rule comes... is similar to another word which is translated bishop in the English language, and that doesn't mean that it's a guy with a funny looking hat on. That's not a bishop. A bishop is an office. It's a spiritual office, which means to have the oversight. It is another name for pastor. It is another name for elder. And so when he says obey them that have the rule over you, he's speaking of pastors. Obey them that have the oversight, the rule over you. And what does it say? Get in rank, is essentially what it says. Submit yourselves. Why? Because they've got a big job on their hands. They watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Oh, I'm going to give an account very soon before the Lord for every one of your souls. And I'm going to hear your name on the day of judgment. And oh, I pray for you. When you're doing something else, there are times you're not even aware of it, but I'm on my knees, and I'm praying for you. I'm pleading your name before the throne of grace, because I want you to succeed. And so, in that sense, there is a rank of leadership within the church. If everybody wanted to be the pastor, wouldn't we have some problems? And yet, there are times, you know it, when you want to be the pastor, not take on all the responsibilities, but you say, you know what, Pastor Matt, he doesn't know what he's doing. And yet you don't see everything behind the scenes and in front that I see. And then in time, I've been wrong and I'll be wrong again, so don't be surprised by that. But there are many times, by God's grace, that because of His gifting, I'm leading you forward, and there are times you have to trust a shepherd. And I hope that I've gained that trust. If I've not, then I pray that you will help me to grow in the areas that I need to grow in. But the Scripture tells all of us to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account. What happened in the Old Testament with God's people when they had a judge over them named Samuel, and they did not want Samuel anymore? They thought, you know what, I think we want a king like the heathen nations. And when they disobeyed their authority, and when they refused to submit to the ones that had the rule over them, the judges or the elders of Israel, and they said, we want a king, they got a king. A king not after God's heart, but after their own heart. And just about destroyed the nation had it not been for the grace and mercy of God by sending David as king. Are leaders perfect? No. But they're put in place by God. They're ordained by God. And just as David respected Saul as king and he messed up royally, God has the power to put a person in a position and he has the power to remove them. And we must be totally submitted to that. We are also to be subject to government. I'm going to make this short, but 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13, key passages, memorize them. 1 Peter 2:13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Obviously, that means if it's not contradictory to the Word of God, because we should obey God rather than men. If the powers that be say that it's against the law to preach the gospel, we should continue preaching the gospel. But inasmuch as they reflect God's authority and inasmuch as they are not provoking us to sin, specifically, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Look at Romans chapter 13, and this is really even more clear. Verse 1 and 2. Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers or the authorities that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. It goes on to say that the state has power to yield the sword and even to put people to death with capital punishment. And so we should submit to the secular authorities. We should all pay taxes. We should not fudge on our taxes. Do I hear an amen here? Christians should obey the speed limit. Do we struggle with that? No talking, Miss Judy. Just got back from Lafayette. I got home before her, but we should obey the speed limit. Christians should obey all the laws of the land and make sure that they do not contradict God's law. Now, there is the employer-employee relationship, and you are very familiar with this. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. Of course, this was written in a time when 50% of the Roman Empire were slaves. And God even has a created order in these relationships. It says servant, but the word is doulos. It means the lowest order of society, a slave. Someone who has to do the work that nobody else wants to do without any praise. And yet, God says, hey, if even in this corrupt world, even in this corrupt way of things in this life, even that though slavery exists, an ungodly institution, he says in verse 5, listen, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And by the way, glory to God that as the gospel has gone forth into nations, including our very nation, the blight of slavery has disappeared. Not completely, but at least as a institution. But these verses can also be applied to the work situation that we are all in. We are all in a employee-employer relationship. So when you go to work, you are to work as that employer, as if that employer is your master, your Lord, as unto the Lord. Doing the will of God, it says, from the heart. And some days it's hard to do that at work, isn't it? But we are to do that because that is God's created order. Finally, let us understand the principle of spiritual warfare. And this will be very brief. He says in verse 21 that we are to submit to one to another. This is Ephesians 5 back in our text. We are to submit one to another in the fear of God. He tells us how to have that submission. And then beginning in verse 10 of chapter 6, he tells us that we are in spiritual warfare. And he tells us how to gird ourselves as soldiers. But what you see as a whole is that before we can gird ourselves as soldiers, we've got to be in the right order and in the right rank, doing what we were designed to do and not stepping outside of that. You can't even think about having victory in spiritual warfare until you're in the right submitted order in your life. So we all have to be in the proper formation. Wives submitted to husbands, children submitted to parents, all of us submitted to the powers that are over us. In every way, within the church, within the family, within the government, let us all be submitted one to another in the fear of God so that we can do spiritual warfare for Christ. And if we're out of order because of imperfect authority, and we blame it on that, we're going to not have the victory. David was able to trust in imperfect authority. Sometimes he had to run for his life. And sometimes you're going to have to run for your life in a husband-wife relationship that becomes abusive. You can't stay in the same house. That doesn't mean you can get a divorce. But you still submit to the God-ordained authority in your life. This could be applied a million ways. So let me conclude. God designed us to be under authority. If you want to have a life that is honoring and glorifying to God, then do what you were designed to do in the place that you were designed to do it. Don't rewrite God's order of creation. It'll only destroy you. Submit to what has already been written. Thus saith the Lord. He's the potter. We're the clay. Let's do what we were created to do. Let's stand together. And let me, as we close, before we sing number 548, A Servant's Heart, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask if you are here today without a submission to the Lordship and Lordship of Christ. Perhaps you're here and you haven't had any desire to submit to those in authority over you because you've never submitted your heart to Jesus Christ. You're not a Christian. If that is you today, let me tell you the bad news. Here's the bad news. I can't save you. Coming to this church won't save you. Baptizing you won't save you. Praying a prayer won't save you. But here's the good news. I know the one that can save you. Jesus Christ came to this earth to save sinners. And so if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, and you would say in your heart, honestly before God, I've made a mess of my life, I take full responsibility for that. And if God were to give me what I deserved, I would spend eternity separated from Him in the lake of fire and torment that I justly deserve. You say, I deserve that, Brother Matt. But I want to point you to the good news, and here it is. Even though you deserve that, the God who is absolutely holy, whom Isaiah saw on His throne, that God came down from heaven to earth, and He took the punishment that you deserve so that God could be righteous in allowing you into heaven. God could remain righteous and not be like the heavenly mafia that allows things to go on under the table. No, God was just. And He allowed Jesus Christ to be punished in your place. Now, if you will believe on Him, you will have eternal life. And believing always has the fruit of repentance. That means that you turn from every way and every thought and everything that is against God, and you turn to God fully in your heart, forsaking everything for Him. If that is you today, You say, I need to submit to Christ as King, as my Savior. I need to become a Christian. I know Him in my head, but I need to know Him in my heart. If that is you here today, I need Christ. Would you raise your hand as an admission before God that you are in need of Him? You need His mercy today. Is anyone here this morning? You're in need of God's mercy today. All right, you're here today and you say, Pastor, that was a message I needed to hear. I have trouble submitting to imperfect authority at times. And I'm asking God that He'll make me to serve with joy under imperfect authority in the fear of God. That's my prayer this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Thank you, Pastor, for this message from God's Word. I needed it. I want to submit with joy to the authorities over me. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You, God, that we can learn from Your Word. Teach us not only to know it, but to live it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 548, A Servant's Heart.